Yes, sir. Father, we thank you so much for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for Brother Ronnie being willing to come here and preach to us. God, I pray that you give the words to speak. Give them the wisdom to speak. And Lord, I pray that you give the ears that are here, obedient ears. I pray that you give them a heart, Lord, that they'll hear and take these things to heart and leave here differently than when we came in here. Not to play games, not to be fun, but to hear what needs to be said from the man of God. We just ask that you set them apart, Lord. Use his mouth. Help him to open that Bible. Lord, preach to us what we need. And we'll give you all the praise, glory, and honor for it all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Let's see, was it Monday or Tuesday we were here? Pete says, Ronnie, wait, never called you, Ronnie. Mr. Skolton, will you do Friday? You want to do Friday? I'm like, okay, sure. I think I can do that. And I was going to do this, and I was going to do this, and do this. And then last night and then today, some things happened, and I had no idea what I was going to talk about. So I figured I'd take a couple of things I got and put them together, and that didn't quite go the way I planned either. So we're just going to talk about some stuff tonight and see if God decides to be in it with us. And I've learned just to try to talk to you folks instead of try to hammer out and preach at you. Right? It works better for me. A friend of mine taught me about myself, and it works better for me that way. So I think I have something to preach about during the week when I know I'm going to preach. And then very often it doesn't work out that way, because what I want to do is preach to you about you, and what God has me to do is preach to you about me and what I've learned or what I'm learning or what he's teaching me at that particular point in time, and it works out pretty well for me that way. And it keeps me from being mean too. Really? Well, Pastor said it. You know, when I'm not doing right with God, and I just get up and yell at people because I'm angry about stuff. And listen, the things I get angry about are worth being angry over, by the way. I'm just getting angry at the wrong times about the wrong things. And it comes out in my way, which is not necessarily the wrong way. But so Tim and I, we were talking, and we were talking about desire, right? You remember talking a little bit about desire. And I was having an issue with desire. And our will and our desire are closely together. You know, we'll have a desire towards something, and we'll exercise our will to accomplish or perform that or to receive what we desire, for good or for bad. And the things that are about ourselves that we should always keep in mind. When God created Adam, he made Adam to be like himself. So the things that we are made of, will, desire, emotions, thoughts, God has these attributes also. Except he's holy. He always has his ducks in a row, if you so to speak. He always knows how to line up his will with his desire, and he always knows how to line his desire up with his will. The first time, I'm not going to do a word study on desire, but the first time we see desire in the Bible that I found out was when God was speaking to Eve, and he said, I shall greatly multiply thy sorrow and conception, and desire shall be unto your husband. Wow, why would she, he's the one who messed up. Why would her desire be unto him? Because he's made in the image and likeness of God, and he's supposed to have things straight. He's supposed to be a good guide and leader for his wife, right? Jesus Christ is the second Adam, and our desire should be unto him.
Amen.
Okay? That's what that is. Our desire should be unto Christ. Why? Because he's holy. We are not holy. We're commanded to be holy.
Right.
But we are not holy. Again, I love it. When I see him, I'll be like him. Good to be, though. I hold on to that almost every day because I'm not holy. Anyway, so Timmy and I, we were talking, and he gave me a reference to some psalm. And it was Johnny who popped up and said it on a Friday night. They were praying in the Psalm 134. Psalm 134 says this. says, "Behold, bless ye the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord, which by night stand in the house of the Lord." It's Friday night. We're in God's house. And I'm even standing.
How about that?
Yes. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord.
Amen.
The Lord that made heaven and earth, bless, bless the out of Zion. You know why you're in the house of the Lord right now? It was your desire. You exercised your will and performed your desire, and you came to the house of God. It's also God's desire that we're here. Now, I was going to read a lot of these songs, but we're already 10 minutes in. We got started late. I was going to read Psalm 136. I'm going to read it. You know what? I am going to.
Yeah, it's a good one.
I'm going to. Listen, I'm not 35 minutes ago. You guys can leave if you don't. Whatever. Dale, if you just go ahead, you can leave if you want.
He wants to.
So let's read the next couple of songs. Psalm 135 says, "Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Praise him, O ye servants of the Lord. Ye that stand where? In the house of the Lord, in the courts of the house of our God. Praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praises unto his name, for it is pleasant." It should be our desire to do these things, because you're being told to do these things.
Amen.
"For the Lord hath chosen Jacob unto himself, and Israel for his peculiar treasure." I ain't never had a problem with being peculiar. But now I like it. "Whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did he in heaven, and in the earth, and in the seas, in all deep places. He causeth the vapors to ascend from the end of the earth. He maketh lightnings for the rain. He bringeth the wind out of his treasuries. Who smote the firstborn of Egypt, both of man and beast, who sent tokens and wonders into the midst of thee, O Egypt, upon Pharaoh and upon all his servants. Who smote great nations and slew mighty kings." There's a great thought right there. God just speaks something and he slays a nation. Destroy a mighty, listen, not just kings, but the mighty kings. You know? Not just this little, three-horse kingdom over here. Huh? But the one over here that's running the world. He slays them, those kings. Or has slew. Sihon, king of the Amorites, and Og, king of Bashan, and all the kings of Canaan. And he gave their land for an heritage, inherited unto Israel his people. There's a wonderful thought right there. When God slays a mighty people, especially a wicked people, what's it say? He gives it to the heritage of his people. He don't do stuff for no reason.
Yeah, that's right.
Listen, this will sound kind of bad to some of you, but God don't get up in the morning just to watch TV.
That's right. Amen.
He gets up, he's got something about being done. And listen, we know he never rests. He doesn't sleep.
Amen. Right.
And he has your best interest at heart.
Amen.
It's his desire for you to have a great and wonderful life. He does things just for that purpose.
Yes, sir.
"Thy name, O Lord, endureth forever, and thy memorial, Lord, throughout all generations. For the Lord will judge his people." It's another part of being his people, right? "And he will repent himself concerning his servants. The idols of the heathen are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Neither is there any breath in their mouth. They that make them are like unto them." What's that? Dead people making dead idols. Okay? They're like them. So is everyone that trusts in them. "Bless the Lord, O house of Israel. Bless the Lord, O house of Aaron. Bless the house, O house of Levi. Ye that fear the Lord, bless the Lord. Blessed be the Lord out of Zion, which dwelleth at Jerusalem. Praise ye the Lord."
Amen.
Now we're kind of familiar with 136, all the endureth forevers, right? I want to look at it a little bit different. Such is my way. But I believe God showed it to me. It's a little bit different because such is his way. "Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." And the very first thought I had here is, why does this say "for his mercy," not "because his mercy"? Because there's a difference between the word "for" and "because."
Why?
Bless the word. Why? Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Why? Not even why. For his mercy. He is good for his mercy. And then he endures, we see, that's italics. Now it's the word of God, but it's put in there for us to understand a little bit better. For his mercy endureth forever. He is good for his mercy. Okay? Oh, give thanks unto God of gods, for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy. Thank him for his mercy. To him who alone doeth great wonders, for his mercy endureth forever. Listen, do you know what this mercy thing here we're seeing? That's God's desire. God desires mercy.
Amen.
Doesn't he desire mercy more than sacrifice?
That's right.
To him that by wisdom made the heavens, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that stretched out the earth above the waters, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that made great lights, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that smote Egypt, to the moon and stars to rule by night, for his mercy endureth forever. He does all this for his mercy. This mercy is the concept of part of what God is. It's one of his attributes, his mercy. He does this for his attributes. He does this because this is who he is. Now, I said I don't want to put the word because his mercy endureth forever. But what I'm saying, he does that for his mercy because that's one of his attributes. I don't know if that processes for you, but it makes good sense to me.
Amen.
To him that, here we go, back to 135. To him that smote Egypt and their firstborn, for his mercy. He smote the firstborn of Egypt for his mercy. Why? So he could show mercy on the Hebrews. He's done all this stuff for himself. Well, we benefit from all these things that he's doing, but he's doing these things for himself. Because he desires mercy. With a strong hand and with a stretched out arm, for his mercy endures forever. To him which divided the Red Sea into parts, for his mercy endures forever. And made Israel to pass through the midst of it, for his mercy endures forever. But overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, for his mercy endures forever. To him which led his people through the wilderness, for his mercy endureth forever. To him which smote great kings, again, for his mercy endureth forever. Sihon, king of the Amorites, for his mercy endureth forever. And Og, king of the Bashan, for his mercy endureth forever. And gave their land for an heritage, for his mercy endureth forever. God's great desire to have mercy on mankind and his chosen people, and it endures forever. Even in heritage unto Israel, his servant, for his mercy endureth forever. Who remembered us in our low estate.
Thank God.
For his mercy endureth forever.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
And hath redeemed us from our enemies. Those are the same enemies that he was immune to. Those same enemies that came upon his body to try to devour his body. Those same enemies we've been redeemed from. We don't have to worry about that. I don't have to worry about that. Some of you got to worry about this still, though. Worry may be the wrong word. Some of you all be deadly concerned about that, I should say. And hath redeemed us from our enemies, for his mercy endureth forever. Who giveth food to all flesh, for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks unto the God of heaven, for his mercy endureth forever. Now this is where it gets a little weird for me. For you, maybe not for me. My thought process is its own.
Amen.
Amen.
But John 1:14 says this, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory as the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. How does that fit in with what I'm saying? Well, it was his desire to do that. Why? Because for his mercy, it endures forever. It's the mercy of God, right? That's so important to us. It's the grace of God that's so important to us. It's his goodness. I forgot where I'm turning. I'm looking around. I'm not paying attention. John, yeah, I got it written down. I just forgot where it's at. It's after Luke. John 14. Now, go to John 14. I read John. Get some more notes from other stuff. John 14. 6 through 11. John 14, 6 through 11. First of all, we read this, the Word was made flesh, and then we're going to drop down to John 14, verses 6 through 11. It says this, and Jesus says to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Why does he say that? Because it's his desire to be known of man. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. He said, listen, if you just show the Father to us, that's all we need. That'll be sufficient. That'll be enough. Well, in a way, he's telling the truth, right? Because the Father reveals Christ, and Christ reveals the Father. But God goes on and answers that. He says, Jesus said unto him, have I been so long time with you? Here's that sarcasm we were talking about earlier, sweet babes. Have I been so long time with you, and yet thou hast not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me. He doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake. What do we see here? The desire of Jesus Christ for you to see him for who he is, for what he is, the Word made flesh. Go back to John chapter 10. And look at verse 25. We're going to be John 10, 25. Jesus answered them, I told you and ye believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. Ye believe not because ye are not of my sheep. Excuse me, as I said unto you. Here's the verse, here's the key verse, this is what I want to see right here. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them to me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. So all these things that we read about in the Psalms, his mercy endureth forever. That's the mercy of Christ. Amen. Endureth forever. And his mercy says that once you're born again, you can't be plucked out of that Father's hand.
Amen.
His desire for you is eternal security. That's mercy, right? And I and my Father are one. Turn to Romans now. Romans chapter 10. For whatever reason, I'm inclined to pause here and make something of note to you before I go on any further. Very delicately, I found out about a loved one in my family today, of my blood. Whose life is extremely broken. Person's homeless, hopeless. And it affected me all day as I tried to get together with God. This is how we met today, by the way, by this broken person that interjected himself into my life again last night. A person that I got together because God's mercy endures forever. God taught me a few things today through the brokenness of somebody else's life that I care about. God cares about the brokenness of our life. Listen, even as a saved person, there can be broken parts of your life.
Right, that's right.
Okay?
Right. Believe.
And God just wants to drop his mercy on you.
Mercy.
Forever.
Exactly right.
I'd almost wish he'd say forever it. Amen? I'll rewrite the Bible. I'll put that in there. We'll call it YARB, right? Anyways, Romans 10, verse 17 says this. So faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The word made flesh, that's Christ. He's the word of God. Faith cometh by him. And I interjected this in here, and this may not make any sense to anybody, but I pray that one of you, when I'm done with this, it will make sense to you. I put this verse in here. 2 Peter, verse 3, chapter 9, says this. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, so men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward his word, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Listen, desire and will are like a hand and a glove. You can't have will without desire. You must desire something in order to cause your will to perform that. And this verse here says, he's not willing that any should perish. It's God's desire that everybody should be born again.
Right.
Jude verse 3 tells us this. I'm surprised Jude still is in the Bible. It's so worn out. I love the book of Jude. Can't wait to start sharing it with you.
Amen.
Jude 3 says this, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." What's that faith? Comes from the Word, right? From Christ. The faith is delivered. Right here, that says to me, very simply, just in redneck language, faith of the Word of God, faith of Jesus Christ, is delivered to those that will believe, obviously. We can't work it up in ourselves. But then moving on with that little bit of a thought here, Hebrews 11:1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen." Faith has substance. Mm-hmm. There's something to it. Kind of like, that's a bad example. It'd be funny, but it'd be bad.
Don't want to know.
But substance is something you can measure it. You know? And by the way, when the Father measured Christ's faith, it was sufficient. It was enough. It was all that was needed. But that faith is a measurable substance that God can take and put somewhere, okay? And Jesus Christ took that measurable substance and put it in himself in the form of being in the Father. He put that faith that he had somewhere. All right? Hold on to that for a second. Hold on to that for several minutes, actually, if you can. I know that's not good preaching, but I told you, it's kind of all over trying to get these thoughts together in my head. It's been a difficult day for me. Faith has substance. And listen, there is desire in God's faith that you should receive it and have eternal life. Is that process? Did I not say it right?
Yeah.
In the faith of Jesus Christ, there is desire, because it's his will that you receive that as he tries to deliver that to you. There's desire in faith of God. All right? You need to desire to have that faith of Christ, okay? Psalms 138 says, "I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth, for thou hast magnified thy word above thy name." Man, there's so much there about Jesus Christ in that verse. He's mentioned a couple, three different ways. Attributes are there of him. Praise thy name for thy truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life, right? For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. All thy name. It doesn't say names either, unless I copied it wrong, and I don't think I did. All thy name. I can't quite process that inside my little head. I think it should say names. But God is, I am that I am. So it's all thy name. That's how I can kind of try to get a grip on that. We have a holy God. But that's beyond our imagination. We get to be like him one day. When I get up here laughing, when I'm talking or preaching, what do you want to call it? It's not because I think things are funny. It's because I like it. I like it. You know, today Amy showed me this little video of that Bean sent to Amy about Noah playing with Rosie. Man, I got it all straight the first time. Okay. And Noah was picking up these little plastic donuts and dropping them on the ground, and Rosie, was just laughing and giggling like crazy. Just like a baby laugh. What's better than a baby laugh? Noah was loving it. Noah was loving Rosie laughing. Noah's innocent. Rosie's innocent. And they both were enjoying laughing. We're going to be laughing a lot when we see God. Amen. Not because things are funny,
right,
but because we like it. It's good. Look at those babies laughing one together, just like they were knit together. They didn't even know it. What a blessing it was to send that out. That's why she sent it out. So that's why I laugh and giggle. Because I'm happy about it. I look at my life and I look at myself and what a Bob that I am, was, and I'm happy about that. And I think that God takes a person like me with such a wrong desires often, all right, and I get up and I open his book, and he gives me a few little notes, and he speaks through me. I like it.
Amen.
I used to be about it. Still do a little bit. Jail, take that out of you, though. Nurse won't take that out of you for real. I love preaching in jails and nursing homes. I really do. First of all, in the nursing home, nobody talks back to you. Except the AIDS.
I said, I can arrange that.
Yeah. You go back on ship for a week, just give me our time, huh?
I got their numbers.
Yeah, sure. But it's good to be happy. When you see God doing things in your life, Nate, when you see God hurting your life, it's good to be happy about that. Man, he's hurting my friends, my loved one's life. He's crushing it. It's his fault. But it's the goodness of God letting it happen. I'm going to tell you, it's off just a little bit, but Sunday. All right, I'll tell you, for 2 years, 2 years ago, Pastor said to me, he said, Ronnie, I think you should see about going and preaching Fruitsburg Baptist Church. I said, all right, let's pray about it. We'll see what happens. I said, no, I can't call him yet. I just don't feel right about calling him. I think I have liberty to call him. Nobody, nothing. And the whole year goes on. Every once in a while, Ronnie, anything going on? Just don't have liberty to call him yet. And another 6 months goes on, and I called. All right, I sent a little text out to the pastor. And I said, my pastor. I never said me, right? I put it on him. I said, my pastor's been encouraging me to contact you to come and preach at your church. I just want you to know, you know, if you have a spot or whatever, I'll come. And I feel that I could, you know, help out there if you'd let me. That was, you know, over 6 months ago now. Or about 6 months ago now. So now it's 2 years. It's about 2 years now. A couple, 3 days ago, I got the call. Said, you're set up to come for Sunday morning and Sunday afternoon. Are you going to be able to be here? Really, it was more or less like that. Yeah. Pastor Fell got stitches. Wants to know if you can come and do this. Told him you'll be here. Okay. Two things. First of all, 2 years ago, I just would have went in there and yelled at him. 6 months ago, I would have went in there and picked on him. I got some history with the church, that's why. And the things I would have said to them would not necessarily have been inaccurate, but they would have been inappropriate because I'd be following the desires of my flesh and not the desire of God to go in there, you see.